There's a lot of other elements, obviously. I'm focusing on studying the Word. All right, so why is the study of the Word important? In the Psalms, we actually have one psalm that is dedicated to the Word, to the study of the Word. And it happens to be the longest psalm that we have, Psalm 119. If you could advance slide, please. See, you don't need clicker. Psalm 119, verse 105, last half says, it is a light to illuminate my path. It is very important. We live in a world of darkness. The only way we can see the path we're supposed to be on is with some illumination. And that's an important thing. All right, so let's get a little bit more specific. So first of all, the Bible is the Lord of all creation transmitting knowledge to us. Think about that for just a second. This is quite literally information from outside of our time and space continuum. The information that we get from the Lord has a perspective that we cannot gain by being just in the world. The Word of God is from someone outside, not bound by our own limitations. God isn't limited by chronology, only seeing sequences of events, but can see the end from the beginning. The truth that we have in the scripture is from this amazing perspective. Next, it allows us to transmit this knowledge to others. So the next thing it allows us to do is to take that information, how it's organized, and allows us to then transmit it to other people, right? And a lot of times it's to people who want to know more about the Lord, right? And the Bible itself organizes this information. The Word is organized into these helpful little bits, these packets, right? Histories and narratives, or poems or sayings, doctrine. Sometimes it's just laid out right there. This is the teaching. This is what we need to know. Those are just to name a few. It's good for correction. It's good for coaching. We're a couple slides behind. There we go, correction and coaching. If we're doing something that we should not be doing, we can oftentimes find that correction right there. The Word of God can be used sometimes by someone else to help us in coaching us in how we're supposed to live, how we're supposed to walk, how we can do it better. We get this information from the scriptures. It is our school for righteousness. It's how we learn how to be righteous, right living, correct ways to speak to each other, interact with each other. How do we handle finances? All these things. This is our school for righteousness, right action. Interacting with our fellow man, our neighbor. And for the dedicated, it makes one competent to meet all the demands of life. We have everything that we need to live a godly life right there. We don't need anything additional. Some of the good stuff is buried. I had a professor used to say when he'd start class, it's time to dig. Best treasures dig down deep, so you got to dig deep. Sometimes we have to look around for that truth. We have to find it, and that's one thing that we get from the scriptures. And a lot of times it's not, do I have the right verse for the situation that's going on right now? I'm sure there's times in your life where you've done that. Oh, this thing is happening. It's weighing heavy on my heart. I need to go to the scriptures and find something that talks about that. A lot of times we will, and it'll be nice and it'll be good, but how much better would it be to find those things before you need them and to have them ready? So when those difficulties of life come, you are already ready for those things, right? An ounce of prevention is worth a pound of cure. Not from the Bible, but still thankful. Thanks, Ben Franklin. That's good. If we're ready for these things, how much better? And if not for us, for someone else, right? Someone else who's struggling, someone who's needing this knowledge, this understanding. Lastly, it equips a disciple for accomplishing the assigned good works that we have. Did you guys know that there are good works that are prepared for you to do? Did you know that? When the Lord saves you, there are things that he has for you to do that no one else is supposed to be doing. It's for you. So how do we get ready for that? Through the word. That's how we get ready. That's how we're prepared. That's how we are equipped to do whatever good work that is. I'm not talking about you have to somehow, you know, muster up the courage, the resources, and all the things to travel to Papua New Guinea, you know, translate the Bible to a language never written down. I'm not saying it's those things. It could be. For some of us, it's how do I raise my children? How do I do this properly? That might be the good work prepared for you to do. So how do you do it? Learn from the scriptures. That's how we do it. All right, just one example. Those things. And all these, of course, if they sounded familiar, they're all from 2 Timothy chapter 3. All right, the word. So see, I got the slide from the word. See? It's even applicable to slideshows, presentations. You can go to the word and get good things out. Let's talk about this real quick. Reading versus study. What is the difference, you may ask? Even if not, I ask, what is the difference? And it's actually very important for us to know the difference between these two, right? So we're gonna look at this here in just a second. But some of us, and this kind of bumps up against a couple things we probably have ingrained into us. If you've grown up in the church, how many of you would identify as, I've grown up in the church, right? I was a kid, went through all of the things, the youth group, the kids church, the stuff. Now I'm here, I'm still here. You went through all those things, right? How many times were you told you need to read your Bible? How many times were you told you have to read it every day? How many? Yeah. Probably every person would raise their hand again. This is an interactive thing. You're probably already tired, but it's something we're probably told all the time. Where do we get that? Can you guys point to a chapter and verse where it says you have to read your Bible every day? Can you? I can. Deuteronomy chapter 17, verses 18 through 20. It's okay. It's not directed to you, but what it is, we get a principle there. So this passage, Deuteronomy 17, was written for the kings. It's preparation for the kings. When Deuteronomy is written, there were no kings. It says, but when you get a king, because God knows what's going on, when a king shows up, right? When you have a king like all the other nations, this is what the king is supposed to do. He is supposed to, with his own hand, write the law of the Lord. Which at that point, that was, if you refer to the word of God, that was the word of God, right? The law of the Lord. He was to write it with his own hand, right? Have his own copy. And he was every day to open that copy and to read from the law for his whole life, okay? Now, the reason for that, it would keep him humble. You are the king, however, you are submitting to this law, right? So it's a humility. But then also, by de facto, ergo result, right? He learns the law. And it's a good thing. It's a good thing for him to learn the law. It's a good thing for the king of Israel to know the law of the Lord. And so oftentimes we take that principle, that idea, and say, you have to do that. How many of you have written the entire Bible out in your own hand? No, so we skip the first part, but we'll employ the second. I think this is just a real good guiding principle, but I don't think you could directly apply and say, I haven't read my Bible today, been a bad guy. I don't think you can make that equation work out. Just from scripture, we get this principle that it's a good thing to have the word of God in you. But for some of you, you miss a day and you're so guilty because you missed a day. It's okay. Just keep reading. Tomorrow's another day, right? Don't give up. That's not the point. The point's not, oh, I checked that off my list, right? That's not the point. But anyway, let's talk about this. Reading versus studying. So let's look at reading first. So with reading, first point, an emotional connection. Now, when we read, we get to spend time in the Word, right? Now reading, understand what I mean. Reading would mean you actually go into the Word and you read and you know what you're reading, right? And you kind of connect. And a lot of this means that we're connecting with the God of all creation who's transmitted this amazing word to us, all right? We are connecting with the Lord. And just by reading, we're able to gain this connection. How many of you have had one of those dark times where you read a psalm and, oh, you felt that emotional connection with the Lord? Just by reading those words, sometimes you read it out loud. I promise you, some of you who feel like you're not connecting, try reading it out loud. That helps. Okay, but you have this connection. That's a great thing. That's amazing. And we should be, as we read, drawn more to the Lord because we see his word laid out for us. These are good things. All right? Now I say here emotional connection. I say it on purpose because some of us, our definition of reading is seeing words on the page. I saw the words on the page this morning, and I closed in prayer, and I'm good. Looking at words on a page is not reading. Did you know that? There must be a cognitive connection with what you're reading. You must read it and understand what the sentence says. That is reading. My three-year-old reads things, right? She looks at it, and she says, that says cereal. It says, nope. That says Rice Krispies, but I get what you mean, right? She's looking at words on a thing and says, that says syrup. Nope, that says honey, but I get you. I understand that you're seeing it's a thing that we had at breakfast and you're connecting it, right? But she's not reading. She's seeing words, and sad to say, I feel like some of us do this. We look, we read. Let me just set you at ease. Some of you are not the right people to be getting up in the morning and learning and knowing and having any emotional or any other connection before 7 a.m. or before 8 a.m., maybe noon, right? You know you. You know if you actually read something or not. How many of you are guilty of looking at the page, barely making it through the passage, praying, sliding over the finish line, and checking the box off? I'm putting my hand up, not as an example, but as a, yes, that was me. Yes, that is not reading. That is checking off a box as though someone is checking your boxes. Who's checking your boxes? Anyone checking your boxes? Seeing what boxes you've checked off? Let me give you some advice. If this is you, go back to sleep. Go back to sleep. Read later. Okay? All right, ran over. Just go back to sleep. All right, next thing. Easy to accomplish. Let's be honest. As long as there's literacy, there can be reading. You win, right? There's not a whole lot you got to do to get, you know, to accomplish this thing. Other than maybe go back to sleep and do it later, right? This is not difficult for us to accomplish. Let's do this. And I'm not shaming anyone because these are just different methods. How many of you actually brought a physical Bible this morning? Lift it up. I want to see. There you go. Look at that. How many of you have not carried a Bible to church since 2009? Go ahead. Hey, how are you reading? Let me see. We got some smartphones there. Anybody brought an iPad? Overachiever back in the, I see a nice work. All right, it is so easy to accomplish this step. How many of you have alerts set up for you to read your Bible through some sort of app? There you go. How many of you ignore those sometimes? Yeah, I hear you. All right, so it is not hard. It's not difficult to read. Next point. There's very little preparation necessary, other than the aforementioned sleep necessary to actually cognitively engage. There's not a whole lot necessary for you to actually read. I would suggest some prayer beforehand. It's good to pray, but other than that, there's not a whole lot of prep you have to do. There's not a whole lot of, you don't have to put on special clothes and bring certain equipment to do it, right? This isn't lacrosse. This is reading the Bible. You just read it. Now, very little preparation necessary does not mean that there aren't literal enemies fighting you to keep you from doing it. That's a separate topic for a different day. There may be things that come into your path, different things that happen, and you say, man, there's just so many things stacked against me from reading my Bible today. That should be a clue that, yes, it is an actual someone keeping you from trying to read your Bible today because it's a good thing for you. All right? But other than that, it's very little preparation necessary. Side note, too, on the prayer thing. That should be part of our practice for this reason alone. How awkward is it to sit across the table from the author of the book you're reading and not engage with them at one point at all during your reading? That's awkward, right? Imagine you've got, who are the kids reading these days? I don't even know. Let's say you have, no, it's the same example. You have an author. That's the same thing. I just said that. No, but you understand, if you're sitting across from the author, what is the one thing that you can gain from the author while you're reading? Insight. What was really meant by this part? We can actually talk to the author, right? Illuminated by the Spirit. Lord, what did you mean by that when you said this? Whoa, that part was super cool. That part, the angel. Good stuff, right? You're sitting with the author. It's awkward to not talk to the author when you read, right? Agreed? Great. Next point, promotes familiarity with the text. Just reading, you get to read all the way through a certain book. You get some familiar, oh, I remember reading that part there. Or it's referenced someplace. Yeah, I remember reading through that story. Yeah, no, I remember that. Yeah, there's some familiarity that comes. The more time we spend in the neighborhood of the Bible, the less we have to rely on maps. Right? Oh, I've been through this part already. I know this. So then we're studying a certain passage, and oh, yeah, I remember reading through that. And you're already familiar. Right? You know where the landmarks are. Next point, it allows the Spirit to speak to you in a unique way. As we're reading, we can allow the Holy Spirit to actually teach us something for us to know, to understand, right? We read something and okay, let's take Deuteronomy 17. We talked about earlier today as an example. Maybe you're reading through Deuteronomy and you get to that passage. That passage was specifically telling the king of Israel to copy the Bible and read it. Are you the king of Israel? No. But can we get the principle down? If the Holy Spirit's like, yeah, I really should make more of an effort to do this on a really consistent basis. Guess what? That's interaction with the Holy Spirit leading you to a conclusion that's based on the reading of Scripture. That's a good thing. That's a unique thing. It's a good thing, all right? Allows us to speak. Now, studying. Studying is not reading. For some of you, you may have always thought, I am reading. I'm reading consistently. Maybe you're not the sleepy person. You're the awake person at 6 a.m. and you're reading. You get up and you read and you're done. Whew, great. You're not studying. Reading is not the same as study. All right? Sorry to burst your bubble. Study is a whole other thing. First point here. It's an intellectual pursuit. I hate to say it this way, but it is. It's not a passive thing, just a conversation. There's some work involved. There's an intellectual pursuit there. We're looking at things. We're gaining knowledge. We're combining elements from different places. We're doing a study. This is an intellectual pursuit. It's more than just a passive thing. Next point, requires exertion. This is sounding more and more appealing. You have to actually exert yourself. There's something you need to do. It doesn't passively just happen to you while you're doing things. A study is something you actually engage in. As DC Talk never said, but would have, study is a verb. Some of you got that. The same kids that went through all the things, right? Study is a verb. Intentionality. That's what's important. Next, takes planning and preparation. For some of you, and some of you may be studying, but you're studying probably in a way that's not the most helpful way. You do a spirit-led study, which sounds super good, but you just randomly open the Bible. I'm going to study this. You can learn good things, but you're sort of stunting your growth because you're learning something randomly instead of learning it in the actual sequence that it's given us or with all of the intended surrounding understanding. We need some focus, some preparation. Next. Connects different parts of the text. As you study one section, it's gonna give you a good understanding of something there. And when you read that same topic or study that topic somewhere else, oh, all of a sudden there's a connection made. Oh my goodness. Now I've got a more full understanding of this. If you've ever done a study in the Gospels, you'll get this. You're reading through Matthew. Oh, it says something very similar in Mark. You can look at the two and say, wow, I've got more insight now because I've connected these texts, right? The more connections we make, that's actually how we remember things. As human beings, we remember through association and connection. So the more study you do, the more you're going to remember a lot of different things, especially things like narrative, stories. That helps us to remember. Then we can connect that with other things. It's a good thing. Next, allows the Spirit to speak in a unique way, different from reading. In study, the Lord is going to give us insight, is going to give us depth, connection with other passages. And I'd say you need both. Which is better? Neither's better. You need both. We need time to read, to spend time with our Lord, to be his devoted disciple, to be there and listen at his feet. We also should intensely look to understand more about him. The depth of the knowledge of the Lord found in the scriptures. We need both. And a lot of times your study is enhanced by your reading because you're already familiar. Oh, I remember this other bit here. And it's that other part that's talked about in this other book because I just read that. And vice versa. Sometimes you're reading through, you're like, oh yeah, I studied through this particular phrase. That's so cool that it's right here. They work together. Which do you need? You need both. Indispensable. All right. And then actually through study, one thing that happens is we can actually start to worship our Lord, our God, through our intellect, through our mind. The more we see the world around us and the more we connect it back to things we've studied, we're actually pursuing a worship of the Lord in an intellectual way in our mind. Both the best thing and the worst thing is that we bring our mind everywhere we go. So the more we're thinking through these things and study these things, our human experience is enhanced by this type of study, and the Spirit has more ammunition to use when we study and make this a part of who we are and part of our worship. All right? Next slide. This is what you're probably thinking, but I am no theological. I am not theological. This, I understand what you're saying. It's not for me. I'll let someone else do it. I'll keep reading. I will go to sleep and wake up later. I will do the reading. I don't want to do the studying. And I would say, you could say, I am not the theologian. I'd say, hey, hang on there, buckaroo. I think you misunderstand what we mean here because you say, I'm not theological. I'm not saying you have to be a scholar. That's not what I'm saying. All theology means is the study of God. How many of you are in a marriage or soon-to-be marriage situation in your life? Yes, okay. Part of our experience in that type of relationship, and there are other relationships where this is true too, but it's probably the first time where you actually have to put forth some effort to study someone, right? Now that sounds really weird to say, especially with Valentine's Day coming up. Thanks for studying me. But there's certain things we should be about. We should be about the study of that person in relationship with, to know and to understand them better, to listen when they tell you that boring story, because there's some bit of that boring story that was important to them and their experience and who they are. There are things that connect there. And so in our relationship, we do that. So theological, or being a theologian, we should all be theologians, because we should be wanting to gain knowledge about the Lord. It doesn't have to be crazy, nutty, intense, okay? And you also don't have to go to Bible school or seminary to do it. Okay, you have what you need. When we talk about being theological or learning things through study, all we're meaning is we're doing something intentionally in an organized way so that we have a deeper understanding. That just sounds like a normal thing to do, something we like and enjoy. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 3, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in Christ with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places. He has blessed us with every spiritual blessing coming from the heavenlies. A big part of that blessing is knowledge of him, who he is. We can gain that passively through reading, or we can engage in study and get more of the good stuff, more knowledge, more understanding equals more blessing. John 17, verse 3, this is eternal life, that they would know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent. To know God is eternal life. And I think we would put eternal life in that list of blessings from heaven, yes? To know him, knowledge of him, is eternal life. We can only do that with the quickening of the Spirit and with his word. It's the only way you're going to get this. Colossians chapter 1, verse 21 through 23. And you who once were alienated and hostile in mind, doing evil deeds, he is now reconciled in his body of flesh by his death, in order to present you holy and blameless above reproach before him. If indeed you continue in the faith, stable and steadfast, not shifting from the hope of the gospel that you've heard, which has been proclaimed in all creation under heaven. Big part of this is for us to remain steadfast. What better way to remain steadfast than to continue to build in ourselves a knowledge of him, and to connect that with our experience that we're having in the world around us? Ferris Bueller said it best, life moves pretty fast. They said other things, I forgot. But it's moving fast. It changes. By being about the study of God through his word, we are prepared to engage with that, because this world's not slowing down anytime soon. Probably not. All right, so now you may ask, how do I get started? It's a great question. There are answers. All right, first thing, get a Bible, right? Some of you do it electronically, and that's fine. I would recommend, however, to actually have a physical Bible when you're doing your Bible study. The reason is, studies show that if I say studies show before I say something, you are more apt to do it. But it's true in this case, studies do show that if you engage as many senses as possible in something, you retain more information. So the act of our eyes going down a page and seeing how it is laid out on a page and moving pages helps us to know and understand when we read. It does. You can do it digitally, and if that's what you're about, be about it. That's fine. I would recommend having a physical Bible to do it just because it does help. All right? Notebook, same thing. Some of you keep notes digitally, and that's super great for you. Again, the more senses you engage, the better it is for retention of information. A lot of times, you can write something down, and just the act of writing it locks it away in here. You don't even have to look at it again, which then leads you to say, why did I write it down and never look at this stuff? It's a circle, guys. It works, all right? If you have a physical notebook and you're writing the things down, more of those things get into you. If they're there, the Holy Spirit can use them in your heart and in your life and your interactions, all those things. How many of you have been talking with someone and then just randomly a verse or the thought of a verse pops in your head? And you're like, I don't even remember reading that. And if you ask me where it is, I couldn't tell you. But man, that was helpful. That's the Holy Spirit using what you put in there for good. That is a good thing. So the more things you can do to get that stuff into your mind and into your heart, it's going to help you just with living. I kind of geek out over notebooks and pens and all those sort of things. So if you want recommendations for things, talk after. Next, get a goal. Have a goal. What are you going to study? The haphazard jumping around isn't helpful for you. So find something. Is it a book? Is it a passage? Is it a person? Have a plan, right? Or I should say get a goal. That goal that you have could be, I'm going to read through Ephesians, the whole book of Ephesians every day this month. I'm going to write down important things while I do it. That's a good place to start a study, because as you go through, you'll start to see how things connect. You say, oh, I see all these. Chapter 3 connects over to chapter 1 in this way. So you can actually start someplace, but have a goal, right? My Bible study moves really oddly through, because I'll start at some place and I'll get to something, be like, ooh, that word is super great. I want to do a little mini study on the side of that word before I move on. So I'm there for a while. Great. Now I can, this is also good. I need to learn more about this place. So it takes me a really long time to study through something because I get distracted, but it's all good stuff. Next, get a plan. Have a plan. How are you going to do it? And when I say have a plan, are you going to study every morning? You study 3 times a week on Saturday morning. You don't have to guilt yourself into saying, I can't do it every day, so I might as well not do it. Come on, Eeyore, just pick a day. All right, set a time. Put in the calendar. Put in the calendar as a meeting, as an appointment that says, meeting with Jesus. Don't stand them up, right? Find something that works. Don't do something irrational. Saturday mornings, 4 a.m., I'm all about it. 2-hour study, I'm doing it. Don't do that, because you won't do it. I know you. You won't do it, because you're like me. I won't do that. Make it after work, before dinner, there's that nice little 15 minutes that somehow I can lock myself in a closet with a book light, and I can do something. Awesome. Do it. Wednesdays, 5:45, in that closet with a book light, I'm going to read Ephesians. Whew, nice. Start with Ephesians. And start, I'm going to write out the topics that show up most often in Ephesians. Such a great place to start. Do that. You don't have to do that. Was an example. Next. Get some accountability. We always work better with accountability. Tell someone you're doing it, or better yet, study something with someone else. Hey, Wednesdays, 5:45, in my closet. All right, what are you doing? Or yours is Tuesdays, in the attic. Great. What are we doing? Let's do it together. Let's all go through Ephesians, right? Do something, have some accountability. That's helpful. Don't make it crazy. Don't make it intense. Do it something that you're going to actually accomplish, right? And then you can build up to something bigger if your goals are bigger than that. We are citizens of heaven. So as we talk with one another, the Bible and Jesus and things of that sort should come up. It should. We should be talking with each other about these things. All right, next. Get some backbone. Come on. Just do it. All right? You can do it. I know you can. All right? The most difficult thing is actually doing it the first time. All right? Once you start, then it's better. If you follow all those other steps and just get started, great. If you miss one, don't freak out. Don't stop. Don't give up. Just keep going. Just keep working on it. I had a conversation with someone not in this church before, but they just saying, man, I just can't get into reading because every time I do it, I like miss a day. And we were talking about studying and what he's doing and what he's studying through and things. And I just don't know. And he was making it a big guilt sort of thing. And like, he's a victim. I'm a victim of my own difficulty to read and to study. And it's like, just do it. Just do it. Find some way. I heard one person say that they, that day, whatever day they were going to study, they were actually going to sit down and do it as accountability for themselves. If they missed, they would not get coffee the next morning. Can you believe it? But that worked for them. What it did, it just helped them get started. And in their own minds, they say, this is important enough for me to have some consequences. And that worked. And they got it started. And once you get started, it's great. All right. And if you want accountability for this thing, if you need a plan, need a goal, come talk to me. Not right now. I'm busy. But after this, come and talk to me. All right. Whoa. All right. Don't be afraid. You can do it. All right. Next. Bible study steps. Write these down or click them on your thing, on your phone. All right. We're going to go through these quickly because we're going to actually do something with them in a minute here. First one, I would say you should go in these steps because I have found them to be extremely helpful. Go in this order because otherwise you'll get distracted and get off track. So this is just my recommendation. This is not gospel. You're not going to find this any place in the actual scriptures, but I have found that this is a good thing. Disclaimer over. First one, observation. Observe. Look at the text. What's happening? What's going on? Who's the author? Who's he writing to? When's he writing? Where is this taking place? He's talking to a group, an individual. Who is that individual? All those things down. When I was going through hermeneutics class in school, hermeneutics is the art and science of biblical interpretation. We're going through this, an observation. We would have, he gives a passage and he'd say, okay, 25 observations by next meeting, by our next class. All right. 25 down, turn them in. Great. Then he'd say, next week I need another 25. Same passage. All right. And you can't repeat. All right. You're through it. Turn that in. Next time. Another 25. Same passage. Oh, all right. I'm running out of things. The next time he said, okay, another one. And some people said, there's not that many things. It's three verses. That's like 100 things. I'm starting to write down, does not contain the word Christ. Does not contain the word. I mean, you know, just like, oh, I'm stuck. And he said, when professor said, I have found 287 unique observations from here. And I know there's more. So part of that is, and part of the practice is, do we have a high view of scripture that the scripture is what's important, not my idea about it? Are we observing? Are we really looking before we start to make up our mind about something? It's a good thing. It's a good practice. Good practice for life. But good for Bible study. Next, interpretation. Some of us, man, we want to jump there so fast without the observation. A lot of times we don't have the information to make any kind of interpretation unless we've actually looked and observed. I'd say the hardest part is separating these two things. Sometimes they go back and forth a little bit, but do your observation before your interpretation. Next, application. A lot of times the application is hard to get from some passage that's very specifically written to someone, right? All right, Balaam the prophet tried to curse Israel, but didn't. So the application to me is, if given the opportunity to curse Israel, don't. Is that what I got? I mean, it's a good thing. But is there a principle there that we can draw from, right? We go back to Deuteronomy 17 example. The example that we have is a king should be humble enough to read the law of the Lord every day, right? Even the king. So it's an important thing for me to do, right? Right. So application, too tricky. Next. All right. Implication. This is the next step. I'd say these are different. Some people put these together, but the implication, what does this mean? What does this mean for me, for others? Or what does this mean about my understanding about something else? Bible study is disruptive because it takes a thing you thought you knew and shows you how much you don't know about it or how much more there is to learn. There's implications there. And I would say this is the part that can be discouraging to you because it might run straight up against something you've taken as dogma, which is an unexamined doctrine that you simply believe because someone told you to. You might hit something where that doesn't work anymore. Yes, the Word of God can be disruptive. Next, re-evaluation. Normally you can't re-evaluate till you evaluate. So also sometimes evaluation. This is sort of like the last step for the implication. You kind of go through and evaluate. And a lot of times what this means is sometimes you have to go back up to the beginning again, or this will cause you to go back to another passage to do a similar thing. All right? All right, next, principles to enhance. I'm not going to go through these individually, but it's just a couple of study for someone else. If you study because you have to teach someone else, there's something different that happens in your brain. How many of you have had to teach someone else and realize you learned that thing so much better? Yes, that's because of your brain and science. Do your own work before checking commentaries. They put in the hard work. Don't just take their work, all right? Also, reading a commentary is not study. That's simply reading. That's reading something. It's not the Bible. It's reading something else. Original languages. Some of you are scared. Don't be scared. They're fun. Original languages help us to understand the passage. They really do. Spend time in the old and new. Use the same Bible as much as possible. I think we talked about that. Use the same Bible as much as possible because it's going to help you to remember. Try writing rather than typing. We talked about that. But the last one too, do not be a slave. Don't be a slave to the time you picked or to the passage you picked. All right? If you mess up, it's not the end of the world. It really isn't. All right. Next. This is what you're waiting for. The real secret to Bible study. Some people left, I know. You really got it here, though. You ready? Here are the real secrets. Context. Next one. Context. Next one. Context. You found it. This is the secret to Bible study. Don't tell anyone. Actually, you should tell people this. This is a cool thing. Tell lots of people, okay? Different things, linguistic and grammatical, historical, cultural, literary, genre. There are literally so many different things to keep in mind when you're going through context. The affinity of Scripture, how Scripture actually talks about itself. Super cool to go through when you discover, oh my gosh, it says that same thing over here. It's like, I know, it's almost like the same person wrote it and wanted you to understand it. It's amazing. Here's the real trick, though. And if you want to understand it this way, this is probably the best way to understand context. The Bible was not written for a 21st century American white guy reading in my context. It wasn't. The Word of God was written to someone at a certain time with certain language and grammar and understanding of the world around them and historical events and culture. And there was an actual human author. Our challenge in study is to drop into their situation so we can understand it and turn around once we understand the principles and apply it back to ourselves. All right? Sometimes we can shortcut that. It's not a good thing. Don't assume you understand the point of a passage because you read one verse. You need to read what's happening locally around it, the whole book, the whole Bible needs to be kept into, you know, kept in mind and frame, all right? We all know what happens when we assume. We jump to conclusions. Next, practice. Some of you look at your watch and say, we don't have time to do this. Yes, we do. We do have time to do this. Because it doesn't have to be crazy. I'm going to show you how you can do a 2-minute Bible study. And you get to cheat. You can talk to the person next to you. All right? You ready? You ready for this? I do not hear books going, people sitting up. I should hear some creaks on chairs. All right, are we ready to do this? We're going to practice this real quick, okay? It doesn't have to be any more than this. Some of you picked up your Bibles off the ground, which is great. It should be readily accessible. You ready? We're going to go here. Oh, I pushed the button. And Romans 5, 6 through 8. Do you remember our steps? I didn't think you would, so I got them here. Yep, here they are. So next slide. Boom, too convenient. No one's ever going to do that for you except for me, okay? I'm your buddy, I'm your friend. Let's go through these. Observe. Go through this passage. If you have the scripture open, you can see the passage around it. Make some observations. This is part of the accountability part. What's an observation we have? Someone. Christ died. That's an observation. Thank you, Kevin. Gold star. It's another observation. We are weak. We are weak. That's an observation, right? And then you could go, who's the we? Right? That's a good question. Who's the we? That's an observation. Something that we can later do. This section here, observation. Not many would die for another. That's an interesting, that's a parenthetical statement. Not many would be willing to do this. Right? Okay. Sorry? Christ. So who is the focal point of this? This would be Christ. Right? You could also put God in there. God shows love toward us. But yeah, Christ is here twice. So sometimes you can list out Christ is mentioned here 3 times. Sometimes you do a study and say, it says Christ, 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 Jesus Christ, Christ. Why does it say Jesus Christ there? That's another good observation. What's the point? It's not on accident. Interpretation. Oh, I'm going to go here. Yes. Oh, that's one way we could go. Interpretation. Were there someone else worthy? Perhaps Jesus wouldn't have had to have died. Or someone else could have done it? Yeah. Put that on the side. Yeah. Interpretation, anyone? I don't know what to call the sections. This is section D. A, B, C. I went this way. You're all collectively on the spot. Don't let me down. Say? God loves us. You know, sometimes that is actually the point of the passage. Who did this? God did this. Did he have to? No. Right? But it says there in verse 8, God shows his love for us, a display of his love. That's a cool thing, right? Application. How can we apply this? Section C. What? If that's the example, I should do that too. A lot of application there. Yep. Dare even to die. Ooh. Is that a challenge? Though perhaps a good person would even dare to die. It might be. That might be something that the Lord is doing in your heart to really think about that. Good stuff. Implication. What's the implication? I'll go back to section A. We got to name these, Char. Section A. Section B, I know you got something, but section A is section A right now. Right, section B. See if we can save you. Allison. Implication, I'm a sinner who needs Christ. How many of us forget that sometimes? oh yeah, that gospel and telling other people, that's actually something I need too. That's a great implication. How about this? This is what I got out of that. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us. You know what that is? Our salvation is not merit-based in any way. While we were still sinners, Jesus died for us. Last one, re-evaluation or evaluation. This is a tough one to do when we just grab a couple verses, but as we're going through chapter 5, there might be something to evaluate differently once we get to chapter 6, right? So in your study, you can say there might be some things to evaluate and reevaluate when I get to the next place. Cool, cool things. I just throw this up here. Next slide. Someone else threw it up here. Look at the difference here. It is a good thing sometimes to use other translations. These are two translations. These are my go-tos. I have ESV on the left, which is what we were using. This is the NET Bible over to the right, New English Translation. Both of these are newer translations, but look at the wording slightly. Look at verse 6. For while we were still helpless versus while we're still weak. Little bit of a stylistic choice there. Every translation has a small peppering of interpretation when you have to pick words that make sense in a different language. So this is helpful. Verse 8, God shows his love for us. Verse 8 in the NET Bible says, but God demonstrates his own love for us. What's the difference between those two? I don't know, but it's probably worth a study. If I'll use these two translations, sometimes if I want to go outside, I'll go the New American Standard. I'll even pull out the old King Jimmy just for fun, just to kind of get that flavor as well. Next slide, and we're wrapping up here. Study is essential for the follower of Jesus. This is the expectation that we would know him better. We would know him more. The Lord is expecting that we will engage with him in this way. This is how you worship the Lord with all of your mind, all right? Now, in light of this, there's so many things we didn't get to really talk about, engage in. I'm going to be writing some things to put up on the blog as little helpful tips, maybe some books that would be helpful. Some of you, this is a really difficult thing for you. Maybe because you just have it in your head that you can't. Maybe it's something you honestly just don't know what to do. Come and talk to me. We'll talk through it. We'll find something you can do. All right. And lastly, I'll close with this. Quote from Andrew Murray. A readiness to believe every promise implicitly, to obey every command unhesitatingly, to stand perfect and complete in all the will of God is the only true spirit of Bible study. Lord, I pray that this would be something that marks us, Lord, in our walk, God, as those who would want to, desire to, love to think deeply about your truth, God. Lord, I pray that as we've gone through some steps in Bible study and the importance of those steps, God, that there would be some who would engage in that deep study, God, that they might know and understand you more. Lord, that they might be prepared for every good work. Lord, that they would be willing to and able to share the gospel with those around them because they are ready to do so. Heavenly Father, as we go from here, I pray that we would be marked as those who have been with you. And Lord, that we would do so in a deep, deep way. We pray these things. In the name of Jesus, amen.